Speaker needs no introduction. He's ably served you from this platform in the last 2 days. Very happy to have Brother Walter Herchuk from Canada with us. He will speak on the subject, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Brother Herchuk, may the Lord bless you.
Thank you, Brother. Morning, brethren. Our time seems to slip away so fast. Here we're at the end of our last day of our convention. As your chairman has announced, our subject for today will be on faith. Our text is found in 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, where the Apostle Paul admonishes us to examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own self. Your own selves. This would indicate to us, brethren, that we should take inventory of ourselves from time to time. And I think this is very beneficial when one is working for a company. They do take inventory once a year, twice a year. The company I worked for, it was every 6 months. And this is a healthy situation. So I think we should do the same. Examine ourselves, take inventory of our faith. Now, Strong's Concordance 3985 gives us the definition of examine, as to try, make trial of, to test, for the purpose of ascertaining the quality of. The Companion Bible defines it as to prove, or to try, or prove yourself if you are in the faith. Now, you will notice the Apostle mentioning the faith. We believe he is referring to the faith once delivered unto the saints, as told to us by Jude in the third verse. We believe this is the faith, brethren, of the new creation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So from the time of our consecration, as we witnessed yesterday, brethren, we should speedily take inventory of ourselves and clear up matters with the Lord. Whether we have something against someone, whether we have any debts, there's anything that would be contrary to our conscience, we should have that settled immediately. I think this is the safest course to take. God puts a very high premium on faith. We read about the faith of Noah, of Moses, of Abraham, of Joseph, young man at 17. These are some found in the Old Testament. And then when we go to the New Testament, we see the faith of our Lord, the apostles, the faithful brethren, all those during the Gospel Age, many giving their lives for the faith. We will be examining the word faith and hope that this lesson will strengthen your faith, brethren, and mine, to prove to yourselves whether ye or we are strong in the faith. And this is very important. Our dear Apostle Paul and others, especially Apostle Paul, give us a good definition of the word faith as found in the Hebrews, the 11th chapter and the first verse, where he says that faith is the substance, or assurance, as recorded by Strong in 5287, of things or of that which we hope for. Now, with help from other translations, this text would read, faith is the assurance of that which we hope for. What is our hope? If we have understood the meaning of the high calling, brethren, or heavenly calling in Christ Jesus, this will be the greatest attainment of a human individual, to live and to reign with Christ and to see God. This is almost beyond our imagination. And yet, this is what is set out for us, brethren, whether we appreciate this or not. And as the apostle mentions to us that he ran. He didn't walk, but he ran. In other words, he was not wasting any time. And this is something beyond our imagination. And yet this is the promise of the Bible if we can abide in the faith. Some are starting out, some have been in the way a long time. And that is why the apostle says, this one thing I do, run toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:13 and 14. It is a holy calling, a call to walk in holiness. 2 Timothy 1 and 9. And the apostle warns us and prayed that our God would count you worthy of this calling. We have to prove worthy, brethren. This is not set out for anyone at all, the man on the street. Oh no. God has something else for them. 2 Thessalonians 1:11. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Hebrews 3:1. Then the apostle informs us, brethren, give diligence, or give more care, greater effort, be more zealous, exert yourselves to make your calling and election sure. 2 Peter 1:10. We notice in Galatians 5:22, brethren, the apostle speaks of the fruits of the Spirit. And there we find that not only love is a fruit of the Spirit, but also faith. This is quite interesting. This gives us the thought that as a fruit tree needs cultivation and attention to produce fruit, so we as new creatures in Christ, we undergo a process of growth in faith from the time one consecrates his life in order to produce the proper fruits of the Spirit, or plainly speaking, to grow in the image and likeness of our Master through faith. It is a fruit. It needs cultivation. When we come to into the when we consecrated our lives, we didn't know that much. And we begin to cultivate the fruits of the Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is a power which will help us to do this. It'll help us to understand the Bible. It'll help us to understand heavenly things. And faith is a very important in our earthly pilgrimage, not from the time we enter, but to the end of our course. For the apostle tells us in 1 Corinthians 13:13, and now abideth faith, hope, and love, or charity, and these three, but the greatest of these is love. So from this we gather, dear brethren, that not only do we have to develop a strong faith, which will come to an end when we die, but we also have to develop love, which will be with us forever. And this is quite a combination. Faith and hope we need on this side of the veil. But love, the greatest of these, will remain with us forever. So there is a combination. We have to fortify our faith, our hope, and cultivate love. Our Lord admonishes us to have faith in God. Very important, brethren. And during our discussion last night, we found how important it is that the ecclesias are clean, that the elders have watch over the ecclesia, that nothing should creep in, that everything should be above board, that it should be, that we should be honest. Have faith in God. When we look around us, dear brethren, the creation of our Heavenly Father, when we look into the sky, when we look around us and think of these things as the psalmist tells us. So we believe in a personal creator, one who can see, one who can hear, one who deals with us. We did not see Jesus. We did not see the apostles. We cannot see God. Yet through faith in God's word, we come to know who God is, his attributes, love, power, justice, and wisdom, that he lives in the heavens. Summer's up there in the sky, and we believe the Pleiades, a great being which our small minds can hardly comprehend, yet by faith we believe he exists, and that we can approach His throne of grace for help in every time of need through Jesus, our Savior and Advocate. What a blessing, brethren, to have communion with our Heavenly Father. This is a special privilege only to those who are fully consecrated. Or as the pastor says, our prayers may just go to the ceiling. How important this item of faith is, we probably cannot fully appreciate now. It seems to be the one thing that the Lord specially seeks for in those now called to be followers. Then we have the words of the Apostle Paul that without faith it is impossible. And we have to take note here to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe, must have faith that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Our Master put it plainly, according to thy faith be it unto you. Matthew 9:29. This would seem to be the Lord's method of dealing with all who are His disciples from the beginning to the end of their Christian walk and experience. Faith when He seems not to notice us. Faith when things seem to be going prosperous with us. In our spiritual affairs and in our temporal affairs. And faith equally strong when the currents and forces seem all to be against us. And this we find in the April 25th manna. Not only do we have faith, but we are admonished to hold on to it. Let us hold fast the profession or confession of our faith without wavering. Hebrews 10:23. So, all this is expected of us, brethren, that we have to build. And one that comes into the truth, brethren, he cannot sit idle. He has a great work set out for him to be conformed into the likeness of Jesus. And there's so many facets to this. Let us ever remember the importance of patient endurance, that we may not only cultivate the Christian graces and practice them, but that we may take them joyfully. Take the trials, the persecutions, or the difficulties, and I'm sure many of us have gone through many of those, which our Lord may see proper to permit to come upon us for our testing and for the development of our character. And isn't this true, brethren? It seems that when we are in trouble, we are closer to the Lord. The Apostle Jude in the third verse says that it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. And I think, as the Apostle says, that we should examine ourselves. What is our faith? Not what somebody else believes, but what is my faith? Do I believe as an organization believes, or do I have an individual faith? And I think the Lord wants an individual faith, where the pastor says, if maybe a brother nurtured us and brought us along, should fall away, we should stand. This is what the Lord is expecting from us. Our good fight of faith consists in a considerable measure in our defense of the Word of God, which includes also our defense of present truth. This will mean our willingness to stand for the truth at any cost against the creeds and theories of men which would misrepresent the good tidings of great joy with the Lord, which the Lord and the apostles have announced, and which, thank God, will yet be unto all people. As the apostle again warns us, he says, I am set for the defense of the truth. Philippians 1:17. The brethren in various ecclesias have the blessed opportunity to study the truth and also proclaim it over radio, over television, and printed page. And we should make sure it is truth. This is done through faith. That this is a part of our commission. And then, brethren, our faith will be tried. The Apostle Peter, 1 Peter 1:7, reminds us that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ, Jesus Christ. So we will be in a testing period, brethren, in the fire. and fire could represent to us trials, difficulties, problems in life. And we have to undergo them. And not only will we go through them, but then what will actuate us? Will it be just to get out of the trial, or will it be that we are going through this trial with the spirit of a sound mind and with the spirit of the Lord? It is our faith that is on trial now. In the calmer days, when the sun of favor shone brightly upon us, we were quietly laying down the foundation of a knowledge of the truth and building a Christian character. Now we are in the furnace to be proved, something as similar to a potter. We should have courage, fortify our patience, nerve ourselves to endurance, hold fast to our hope, call to mind the promises. They are still ours, and we should not cast away our confidence, for there is a great reward in store for us, brethren. And we see, we believe that in the last 5 years or so, there is a great shaking up among all the classes. Greater tests. There were calmer days when we were building, and now the Lord is maybe doing a little shuffling, just as the eagle stirs the nest, to find out how we stand, brethren, in regards to present truth. In quietness and confidence shall be our strength. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him in all matters of life, and our faith will gain its victory. Then we are reminded of young Timothy, brought into the truth. The son of the Apostle Paul, the spiritual son. And I'm sure he was happy to see this young brother come into the truth, along with Titus, another young brother. And he, I'm sure, had good leadership from the Apostle Paul. And similar to when we have good elders, brethren, who are striving to help us along. And we should look up to them. And I'm sure Timothy was one of these who was obedient to the Apostle Paul. And he admonishes him to fight the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6:12. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. There must be a warfare against the world, the flesh, and the devil, or else we will not be accepted by the Lord as overcomers. We have to be careful, brethren, that the Lord's Spirit actuates us in this warfare, not the spirit of the adversary. The Lord will judge us accordingly, and we have to be careful. And that is why we have to put on the whole armor. The picture of the soldier going to war, brethren. And we are soldiers. We have a hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers. We have the loins girt about with truth. We have the breastplate of righteousness. We have the sandals of peace, which was touched on. And we have the shield of faith. Very important in olden times, when they fought maybe on horses, they had the shield, and any arrows that came, they were able to defend themselves. Wherewith he shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and there are many. Where is the battleground? It's in our minds, brethren. The heart is often spoken to. Sometimes we think of the literal heart, but the spiritual heart is our mind. Everything is there. So we have to put on the helmet of salvation, that the dart may not pierce through. Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Prayer. Earnest requests and watchfulness. Getting back to the shield of faith, brethren, as the Apostle mentions in Ephesians 6:16, we know that we have no power with which to oppose Satan. None are capable of this except our Lord. And God is greater than Satan and all his angels. And we are looking forward with the eye of faith to the things that are unseen. We must learn to be steadfast, immovable, full of faith, and therefore able to meet whatever the Father permits to come upon us. And we have our guardian angel who will help us. And he will only help us to that extent that we yield to the will of God. If we desire our own will the guardian angel leaves us alone. He sees best if this is what we want, our own will. Okay, you can have your own will. But wherever we are under the will of the Lord, He will protect us. So we have to be careful in this regard, brethren. But ye beloved, build up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Jude 20 and 21. Sometimes we think our faith is strong, brethren, but we have the picture shown by our Lord when we recall courageous Apostle Peter, who was ready to walk on the water. When he saw, he was afraid and began to sink. Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? So sometimes this happens to us, brethren. We run into various problems in life, and our faith seems to sink. But then, if we are unable to help ourselves, as in the case of Peter, and maybe if our faith is weak, the Lord will help us. He'll stretch forth His hand. He will help us, pull us out, because He sees that we maybe are not strong enough. What must be done to overcome this lack of faith and to have an increase of faith? Well, our Lord tells us that we should pray. Lord, increase our faith, in Luke 17 and 5. And acting in harmony with this prayer, brethren, each should cultivate faith in his own heart by refreshing his memory continually with the divine promises, to remember these promises, that they're ours. He should claim them in his own thoughts and in his conferences on holy things with the brethren. Remember the text that the Lord will never leave us or forsake us. And I've had these experiences where I had a test of faith, and when you call to mind these precious promises, brethren, the Lord is quick to help, and He will help those. Now, the Lord sometimes does not help us immediately because He sees that it's best not to. We may have to wait a day or two or a month or a year or longer. But we have to abide in Him, brethren, and be confident that He will help us in the way He sees fit for us. We read about the Canaanite woman whose daughter was plagued with a demon, and her daughter was healed by Jesus because of her faith. And we read this in Matthew 15, 20, 28. O woman, great is thy faith. Great is thy faith, be it unto thee as thou wilt. So sometimes we have to be persistent, brethren. Sometimes the Lord demands that, whether we are really genuine. And sometimes we are in prayer for, could be even hours, when we have our problems. The more we study the subject of faith, the more we are convinced that in God's sight, faith is necessary and very precious. We see the great prophet Abraham, the great faith that he had to leave his land, to give up his son. I'm wondering how many of us would do that, brethren. Maybe some of us would. Maybe all of us would. Great faith. We cannot abide in His love without faith. We cannot receive day by day His mercies and blessings and leadings except by faith in His promises. We cannot go on day by day following the Lord except as we are willing to walk by faith and not by sight. We cannot be prepared for the heavenly kingdom unless we exercise faith and the various lessons given us in the school of Christ. The Apostle Peter gives us some good advice and consolation, brethren, where he says in 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. So as we go along in our everyday affairs, brethren, we are kept by the power of God. And with the promises set before us, we are kept through faith unto salvation. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 5 and 1. And we truly have the peace, brethren. We look around us and we and we have the inward peace. Even though we may go through many trials and problems, but yet we feel we don't feel the worry or the concern that we see others have, not being led by the Lord. The scripture would not apply to any who have not come to the point of consecration and acceptance, and who are merely approaching through the court, as shown in the tabernacle picture. This text can apply only to those who have come into the condition of the sons of God. God is not at peace with any others, brethren. He cannot be, because they are not in that condition. And this is found in Songs of the Night, August the 12th. By grace ye are saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift. And we have to appreciate this, brethren. It is a gift. Something that God wants to give to us. And how we appreciate when somebody gives something to us, especially children, they really appreciate that. The just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10:38. It is not enough that by faith we receive the first impulse of life, but having passed from death unto life, we must continue to receive spiritual nourishment and make it our own. As I mentioned at the beginning, brethren, you must make it your own. Don't look at anyone else, but examine yourself. Go into a room and ask yourselves, am I in the faith? What do I believe? How do I stand? Or am I following someone else? And grow by the leading of the Holy Spirit through the word of truth. The life of faith is an individual matter. Individual matter. It is an intellectual assurance and also heart reliance on the Lord. It is far more than an acceptance of doctrines, which we consider scriptural. It is the absorbing of that which we have proved to be the truth, so that its principles become our principles and its promises our inspiration. Manna, March the 15th. So we see, brethren, that a very important statement of the Apostle James in 2:20 tells us that something else is necessary. Faith without works is dead. Plainly, the Apostle James gives us prophecy. He also gives us spiritual admonition, and he is very frank about it. If we have heard, seen, tasted of the grace of God and enjoyed it, and if we have no desire to serve our gracious Father or to assist others to the same blessings that we enjoy, and it implies that our spiritual vitality is very weak, and in danger of perishing. But if, on the other hand, we find ourselves burning with fervency of love for the Lord and with appreciation of His great plan of salvation, and are consumed with a desire to tell the good tidings to others, for the blessing, for the strengthening, for the upbuilding, and the participation in the divine faith, it should encourage us to help the brethren and to be an example to others. We should notice, too, that Jesus specially loved and favored more of the zealous and the vigorous, the energetic of the apostles. And we are referring to Peter, James, and John. And we may be sure later, the Apostle Paul. There is an article that love does make a difference, even in the church. It does make a difference. Sometimes we are a little closer to some than to others. Not that we don't love all the brethren, but it seems that way, shown by that the Lord especially favored Peter, James, and John. Continuing on with the admonition of the Apostle James, he says, I will show thee my faith by my works. Now, our works are imperfect, brethren, but maybe we can show our faith by our imperfect works. To the degree that it is possible for us to do. While the Lord's people of the present age are not to be judged by their works, sometimes we promise we don't fulfill. Maybe there's a reason for it. Sometimes we say something and maybe it's not the right thing. So these are some of the works, brethren, that we can't judge a brethren too hastily, because maybe there is a reason for it. We should really rather find out before judging too hastily. We are not judged by works, but by their faith. Nevertheless, works will be required. By our works we demonstrate our faith, and thank God, as mentioned, imperfect faith can demonstrate to Him the loyalty of our intentions, our wills. That faith will be acceptable to Him, and we will be counted perfect and be granted a share in the kingdom and all the great and precious things which the Lord has in reservation for those who love Him. Not merely in word, but also in deed, who strive by the deeds of life to show forth, to demonstrate their love. Then the Apostle Paul, John tells us in John 20 and 27, be not faithless, but believing. As mentioned, faith is a matter of cultivation, of development. It is a fruit of the Spirit. The same apostles who cried out in terror when the storm was upon the Sea of Galilee, brethren, gradually grew stronger and stronger in faith until, as the records show, they could and did trust the Lord, but they could not trace Him. Similarly, it should be a great part of our daily lesson to cultivate trust in the Lord and to think of the experiences of the past in our lives and all these lessons in His Word, that thus our faith in Him may become rooted and grounded. And I'm sure, brethren, many of us have had experiences. When we look back, we see how the Lord led us through them all. And we look at it as maybe it wasn't such a great test, was it? So our faith brought us through. Our faith will be refined. But who may abide the day of His coming, of His presence? And who shall stand when He appears? For He is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. But He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Malachi 3, 2 and 3. So our faith will be, our stand before the Lord will be refined, brethren. And we can see this process through all ages. We are subject to temptations. Satan lost faith in God. And James 2:19 tells us that the devils believe and tremble, yet they will not change their course, as their hearts are overcharged with doing evil continually. We have to be careful, brethren, that we do not practice any of the devil's tactics in our consecrated walk. If we are offended, we can be angry, or we can return evil for evil. Maybe somewhere, maybe with our wives or with our husbands or with our children, where nobody sees it. Now, examine yourselves, brethren. Do you do that? If you do, it's not a very good position to be in. Impatient. Wanting it your way. These are the devil's tactics. And he's happy when we do that. And he leads us to that. Spend more time in television. Read various books. Spend all your time in the evening on different things. And maybe when you go to bed, you might read four lines and fall asleep. Or the volume. And then you say, I had no time. This is the devil's way. He likes that. And he'll do that the next day. Too busy. No time. Well, we better find time, brethren. Or else you may be disappointed. That our faith may shield us and state firmly, as did our Lord, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, and for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Matthew 16:23. If we do not have faith to stand trials, we are not of the kind whom God is seeking. No. He wants the gritty type. He wants the ones that are filled with love, brethren. He wants the ones that can stand. He doesn't want mud. That any way you shape it, that's the way it goes. No, he's not looking for those. He is seeking for a peculiar people. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. Who gave himself that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Titus 2:14. Immortality, brethren, will be given only to those who can be trusted forever. Obedience to God forever. It would be a great disaster if anyone received immortality who would take the course of Satan beyond the veil, to have immortality. And that is why God will be selecting the church. Not our Lord, but God himself will be selecting the church. These have learned that God is true and that he changes not. And this is the faith that God is seeking. Whether you want to conform to that, brethren, or whether you don't want to conform to that, it doesn't make that much difference. God will find those who will, and they will do that voluntarily. If you were to enter into a room and you saw money on the table and valuables, would you even have a desire to touch it or to take it? I'm sure you wouldn't. So this is just an illustration, brethren, that how trustworthy we have to be. We have to be stewards. And steward in the olden time was trusted. He had full control. We must learn to think positive. God does not force any person to believe. He sees best to select those who will serve him voluntarily. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. This is the standard. This is what the Lord tells us. John 4:23. There will be trials to test our faith. Trials in the church. Trials cultivate gentleness, meekness, and patience. And all these things work out for good to those who love God. Romans 8:28. So all that we see about us, the problems in Europe, the problems in the United States, the problems in Canada, brethren, among the brethren, they are permitted. Because the Lord is seeking for a special class. He is not taking everyone and to give them the reward set out at the beginning. We have stated that God places a great premium on those who can cultivate the faith that he desires. And our Lord foretold our times with these words, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? How true, brethren. But there is faith in the consecrated, not in the world. We rather find the fulfillment of prophecy that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. We see this trend increasing since our Lord's second advent. And it'll get worse, brethren, because as we see the downfall of the old and Satan trying to hold on to it, he'll do everything in his power. And we should expect this, rather than to say, if our Lord is present, well, why do we have these problems? So when we see it in the true light, brethren, we understand the reason why. Consider the lilies of the field. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, shall he not much more clothe ye, you, O ye of little faith. Matthew 6:30. Stephen was a man full of faith. Barnabas was a good man, Acts 6:5-8. Barnabas was a good man, we are told, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. He was a comforter for the brethren. Acts 11:24. So in closing, brethren, we have also blessings. We have joy of faith, Philippians 1:25. And we have the divine providence upon us, and that the Lord will find an escape for us in every time, in every trial. He will not permit more than we can bear. And we are admonished by the Apostle Paul that he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And this is important to us, brethren, that we keep the faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, Hebrews 12:2. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of the Lord and the faith of Jesus. Revelations 14:12. And in closing, brethren, do we have faith in God's plan of the ages? Or do we think it's getting outdated, as some brethren feel to think? Let us examine ourselves. In closing, brethren, I'm very happy to be with the brethren here in Salem. We've heard so much of the conventions here, and so when I got the invitation, I thought, well, I'm not going to pass this up, and I'm rejoicing with you. I thank you for your hospitality, brethren, and for your happy faces, for your growth here and your stand in the truth. May the Lord continue to bless you, and may you remember us back in Winnipeg in your prayers as we will remember you. And may the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you, Brother Harchuk, for your lesson and for being here.
Our kind and loving Heavenly Father, we approach thy throne of grace this morning through Jesus, our Savior and Advocate, to give thee thanks for all the many provisions and arrangements that thou hast allowed for us to participate in, and for the blessings of this convention, for the blessings that the brethren are able to set aside time that we could gather together and learn more at the feet of Jesus. We are very thankful for this. We ask for thy continued blessings.